preacher mentioned this morning about what the church done for him and for his birthday. And I want to say to the church, from the bottom of my heart, I appreciate what you done for me and for my birthday. It was a tremendous blessing to me. I didn't get any binoculars, but I know. Well, you know, and planes fly over my house too. Of course, in Union County, they're helicopters looking for the pot growers. So they're real close. You don't really, you know, need something that'll reach out there. Matter of fact, they was rappelling right behind the house the other night, wasn't they, Mom? But I do with all of my heart. I want you to know I appreciate that. And all the birthday cards, man, that I got from people in the church, instead of going to everybody individually, it's just easier to get it in front of you and tell you that I thank you, I appreciate it, and I love you with all of my heart. Open your Bible tonight to a very familiar passage of Scripture in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4, and the way this message came to me, my wife will attest to this fact, it's had me burdened, it's had me scared, it's had me worried, because what happened to me the other evening hadn't happened in a long, long time. I'd been preparing something, trying to keep something ready to preach when called upon, and even had it in my Bible. It's right here. There it is. And so I thought, well, okay, I've prayed about that, I've studied, I'm prepared. And I was sitting there, she was doing something, the TV was on, it was a college game, but it was turned down, you couldn't even hear it. I was off in Never Never Land. My mind just, it happens, the older you get, the more it happens. And all of a sudden, the Lord started talking to me. Amen. Yeah. Amen. And I panicked, and I said, Shannon, give me a pen real quick. What? I said, just give me a pen real quick. Well, you got paper? I said, yeah, I got a little tablet here. And so you know that I'm not just... I don't know how many pages of this they are, but as quick as I could write, the Lord was loading me up with this message. That's the first time that's happened in quite a while. And so I know the devil's going to fight it, but I know the Lord sent this message for tonight. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4, very familiar reading to everyone in here. In verse number 13, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. They're not asleep in the grave. If somebody told you that, they lied to you. Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So you need to understand your loved ones are not sleeping out here in the dirt. They're asleep in Jesus, the Bible says. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or go before them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be called up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Look at verse number 18. And if we ever needed a word of comfort, it's in this hour. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. My Father, I thank you so much for what you done the other evening. It's been a while. It's been a while, Lord, since you give me a message like that, that just caused me to stop on a dime and to write down the things that you was laying upon my heart. I pray you'd hold back the force of hell. I pray that you'd give me liberty to be able to deliver my soul tonight. And Lord, for all that's accomplished, I'll give you the praise for it, for it's in Jesus' blessed name I pray. God bless you. You may be seated. We're dealing in 1 Thessalonians. You know, the preacher and everybody really picked up on this. You know, there's this pastor that's saying that the Lord's coming back for the church September the 23rd. 23rd, which is what, Tuesday, Wednesday? Tuesday. Yeah, some of you got it marked, okay? You know, and if he does, even so, come, Lord. I'm upset that it didn't happen today. But the preacher mentioned this, and it stuck with everybody. What are you going to do on the 24th? What are you going to do on the 24th if the Lord doesn't come back on the 23rd? How let down are you going to be on the 24th? Well, the Lord started loading me up with this thought right here. I mean, she will attest to the fact, it's just like the Lord took me, carried me off somewhere, and I was writing as quick as he was giving it to me. What are you going to do on the day after we leave? Let that one settle in. What are you going to do the day after we leave? Because I've done punched my ticket. And when I hear the shout, I'm gone. And the question tonight is this: what are you going to do the day after we leave? 1 Thessalonians was the first book that Paul the Apostle wrote. Did you know that? That's the first New Testament book that Paul wrote was 1 Thessalonians. And he wrote it to the Thessalonians that were saved in Acts chapter number 17. In Acts chapter number 17, Paul's having a revival over there in Thessalonica. And a lot of folks get born again, Gentiles getting saved. And almost immediately after that, he penned down 1 Thessalonians. He wanted to get this in their hands as quick as he possibly could. He wanted them to get a hold of something that would strengthen their faith. These were new babes in Christ. And he wanted them to get a hold of something that would strengthen their faith, that would build up their faith in the Lord that they just trusted in, to encourage them, to give them some assurance. Now, this was written around 50 to 52 A.D. This was written to the Thessalonians before Paul wrote 1 and 2 Corinthians to the Corinthians. And he wanted to instill in them some things to look for, and then he gives us this. Oh my goodness, he talks about the coming of the Lord. You see, Paul just followed the light that he had. He knew the Lord was coming back. And as far as he was concerned, it could be the very next day. And he gives them something to look forward to. He said, the Lord shall descend with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. That day, my friend, is coming. And it said, the dead shall rise first. Now, let me see if I can explain this the way that the Lord revealed it to me many years ago. I've got a graveyard full of family, cousins, friends up in Kodak, Tennessee on Pollard's Hill. My dad's there, my mom's there, my granny's there, my papa's there, my sister's there. All of my cousins are there. And the Bible said on this day that the dead in Christ shall rise first. Well, wait a minute, preacher. I thought you said to be, no, I didn't say it. 2 Corinthians 5 said it. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. That means before the doctor can turn around and tell your family he's gone, there's those on the other side that says he's here. Amen. Amen. To be absent is to be present. And so our loved ones that's died in the Lord, they're in his presence and some sort of spiritual body. And when the Lord comes back, even Enoch said he'd come back with 10,000s of his saints. The dead in Christ shall rise first. When the Lord comes back, he comes back with our loved ones that's died in the Lord. And that spiritual body descends into the ground and comes back up a glorified body. Amen. You say, well, now wait a minute. I've heard preachers get up and talk about the graveyards being burst apart and tombstones here and there. The Lord doesn't have to do that. Well, of course he doesn't. He didn't have to roll the stone away either to walk out of the tomb. But he done it as an open testimony. Hey, he ain't here. He's arisen. It wasn't rolled away for him. It was rolled away for them. Do I believe that the graveyards will be tore all to pieces? Oh, I do. 100%. And so if a lost man's walking through the graveyard, he can understand, well, that one belonged to the Lord. That one belonged to the Lord. That one belonged. I don't know about this fellow over here. His hadn't been disturbed. Many, many years ago, I love this. We had a preacher that came here many, many years ago named Reuben Fields. You remember him, brother? Dr. Reuben Fields from Indianapolis, Indiana, a black preacher. Anybody here still remember Brother Reuben Fields? Oh, more than I thought. Brother Reuben, most wisdom. Everybody signed up to feed Brother Reuben while he was in. And when it came around to our time, I said, Brother Reuben, what do you want tonight for supper? And he said, preacher, I love soup beans. Cornbread and soup beans. And I said, glory over me. That just happens to be my wife's specialty. Man, she can make soup beans that just, and Brother Phil sat down, and I can honestly tell you, I have never in my life seen a human being eat more soup beans than Reuben Fields did. I've never witnessed it, before or after. But they was talking to Brother Fields about the resurrection and about the dead rising first. They said, Dr. Fields, after a while, your body's going to go back to the ground. Well, that's what the Bible says. I'm not in it. I'm not connected to it. As a matter of fact, I'm already seated. Let that settle in. Let that one settle in on you. I am already seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. They said, Dr. Phil said, you know, what's going to happen to you? Said, here's what's going to happen, Dr. Fields. Said, a worm is going to eat your body. You'd have to hear Brother Fields tell this one. And then that worm's going to crawl to the top of the ground, and a bird is going to eat that worm. So what do you think is going to happen when the shout comes? And Dr. Fields, he messed with his chin for a while, and he said, well, when the Lord comes back, he said, the bird's going to give up the worm, and the worm's going to give me up. Amen. And I'm coming out of there a glorified body. And so when he comes back, the Bible specifically tells us that the dead in Christ shall rise first. I've always asked the Lord to let me be one of two places when the shout comes. And you know what's sad tonight? There'll be some here that won't hear the shout. There'll be some sitting right here tonight that won't hear the trump. But I've always asked the Lord, let me be one of two places. Either behind a pulpit preaching the truth or standing in the middle of a graveyard. Well, tonight would be a good time, brother, because I'm in the mix of both. We got a graveyard right here. I've held funeral. I've buried people down there. And Preacher Lawson's buried a bunch of them down there. I've asked him to let me be one of the two places because the dead. Man, I'd love to be on that little hill up there at Pollard's. Yeah, you can look down over it. You remember when I planted my mom and preached, the wind got so high up on that hill that I had Sean on one corner and I had Ryan on another corner and found two more men just to hold the poles down. I thought it was going to blow the tent and mama away. It's up on a big old hill and you can look down and see the river, the bend of the river. I thought, man, what a place to be. Because she's with him now in a spiritual body. But she's coming back. Amen. And there's going to be some graves that explode on top of Pollard's Hill. I'd love to be there. I'd love to see that. Because the dead in Christ, then we which are alive are going to be called up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Do you really believe that, preacher? If I didn't believe what I'm preaching tonight, I'd close this Bible and never preach again. I believe it with all of my soul. I believe this book. Then we which are alive and remain shall be called up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. But not everybody's going to be called out. Only those that's born again is going to be called out. Through the years, I've had people that doubted their salvation. They've come to me and say, Brother Barry, do you think I'm saved? I hope I'm saved. Do I look saved? What do you think? Listen, if you don't know tonight whether or not you've been saved, let me help you. You haven't. If you have to go to somebody and give them your testimony and then look at them and say, do you think I'm saved? Let me help you. You're not. Amen. You cannot be saved and not know it. That's a total impossibility. Because when you get born again, there's something that comes and lives inside of you that wasn't there before. You will find that you have a hunger for the preached and the taught word of God. If you can sit here on Sunday morning in Sunday school, and some do, while Brother Tony's teaching, flip through your book and go to sleep, let me help you out. You do that because there's nothing inside of you that's getting fed.
Amen.
Amen. You cannot be saved and on your way to heaven and not know it. Man, now, you want to commune with the Lord. You want to steal away and talk to him. Not every day. I'm just like you are. There's days you have a bad day at work. Maybe it was Brother Tony, maybe you smashed your finger with a hammer. There's times you don't always feel real saved, do you? Yeah, because we're human. But you go home and you spend the evening without him, without reading your Bible, you'll miss it. You go for a while without crawling in your closet and saying, oh, Lord, I need you. We need to commune. I have a hunger for you. If you can go week after week after week, month, you don't know him. You do not know him. There's nothing spiritual inside you that's ever been awakened. And the churches are sitting full of people that sat in church pews all of their life. They'll never hear the shout. They'll never hear the trump. I'm telling you, I know what I'm preaching. I know exactly. You'll have a desire for the word of God. You'll have a desire for preaching and teaching. You'll have a desire for communion with him. And when you're sitting there, and God bless this choir, when they get up here on Sunday, and they go from here to here, and they start singing, and you see tears in their eyes, and you see their hands go up, if that don't stir something inside you, you're either grossly backslid or your loss is a goose in a horse race. Because that's something that the carnal man cannot discern. First time when I was a kid, I heard a man preach. I thought, man, that's stupid. Why, he acts like he's mad. What's wrong with him? Looks like his face is going to explode. See, because to me, it was foolishness. What's he screaming at me for? Hollering about a cross and Calvary. Man, that guy's touched in the head, I'm telling you. But then the light got turned on. Poof. Amen. And somebody come and lived inside of me that wasn't there before. And then I started loving the word of God. Started standing up. When I work for myself, plumbing houses, there's times, I'm not saying this to brag on myself, I'm just trying to preach and be honest with you tonight. I'd sit down and start reading the word of God. And I'd read, 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 and I'd look. Oh, my goodness, it's 5 in the morning. It's 5 o'clock in the morning. I've done this before. And think, Lord, I got to have that slab ready. That inspector's coming. What am I going to do? And I've done this before. You know I have, Lord. Lord's got a sense of humor. You know that, don't you? I start praying for rain. Yeah. Oh, Lord, I'm wore out. I've been reading your word all night. I can't get that slab ready. Lord, please. If it rains, I don't have to. They'll have to put it. Lord, please let it rain. And I can't tell you how many times when we was over in Kingston Square Apartments and I'd be praying and I'd hear the rain start hitting on the top. That made you miss the day's work. I don't care. I don't care. Now, I've been feasting on something far more greater than what you can buy at the grocery store. What I'm talking about, we refer to as the rapture of the church. And it's something that's going to take place real soon. You say, I've heard that all my life. Well, yeah, I have to. But if you know the Lord, you know things are changing, and they're changing quickly. I've never seen evil and wickedness run as rampant. It's not safe for you ladies to go to the mailbox and back. I'm telling you. Now, Haley don't like me to mention her name. She don't like it. I've done this ever since she was a little girl. If she's with us, She'd stand up, "Where are you going, Haley?" "Papa, I got to go to the restroom." "Let's go." "Papa." And I have always followed her to the ladies' restroom. Now, you get a lot of looks like that. You know, people walk by and look at her. "What are you doing? Go chase cars, man. My granddaughter's in there." But even when she got older, and you'll notice, y'all know, the older they get, they don't want you hugging on them. You know, "Oh, Papa, not in front of my friends. But I still love you." But she was almost driving. And I said, "Where are you going, Haley?" "Papa, I got to go to the restroom." I said, "Let's go." "Papa, please." I said, "Listen, girl, if something happens, it's not going to be on Papa's watch." Amen. "If some man comes in there identifying as a girl, I'll give him his true identity. You just step outside. I'll be waiting." Amen. Hey, listen, if you've got half a brain, you've never seen a day like we're living in now. You've never seen anything like this. And let me tell you something. When you're talking about the second coming, the second advent, there's signs after signs after signs in Matthew 24. But that has to do with the second coming. Hey, I'm gone 7 years before that. The rapture of the church is called a mystery. He said when he wrote to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 15, "Let me show you a mystery." Hey, don't you like a good mystery? Let me give you a good mystery. We shall not all sleep. But we shall be changed. In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. I was preaching for this preacher one night, and one of his young people come up and said, "Preacher, can I ask you a question?" Talking to the pastor. Said, "What's the twinkling of an eye?" He said, "Okay, look at me. I'm getting ready to wink at you." "Oh, well, that's fast." She walked off and I said, "Preacher, that ain't it." I said, it's a twinkling, not a winking. "You mean there's a difference?" I said, "There's a difference." Amen. "What do you mean, preacher?" Before you can move a it could happen tonight. And we got some new brothers that just got in, man. Before this, hey, it could happen tonight. Bam! Some of us would hear a shout. Some of us would hear a trump. And we would be gone. Changed in a moment. And you would sit here. "You mean you tell me, preacher, that you think when the rapture takes place, churches will be half full? Because I've preached and pastored long enough to know how people play games with God. And there's no worse feeling than being left behind. When I was 10 years old, every year we'd done the same thing for Thanksgiving. Every year, my mom and dad would go to Mam and Papa's up in Sevier County. Done the same thing every year, man. They had me in the woods with a little J.C. Higgins 410 shotgun when I was 6 years old shooting squirrels. But on Thanksgiving, me and Dad and Papa always went rabbit hunting. I looked forward to that, man. I couldn't sleep the night before. We done it every year. And, you know, I was around 10 years old. So I had graduated up to an 870 Wingmaster, baby. I'm shooting 12 gauge now. And I was so excited knowing it in the morning. Mama and Mammy are going to be working on the Thanksgiving meal. Me, my dad, and Papa, we're going to be out running the beagles, killing rabbits. I couldn't sleep the night before. It was almost like Christmas. And we done just that like we always did. I'm so excited. And I remember we came in, and I remember them saying, "Boy, I tell you, you don't know what tomorrow holds. You better get in bed. You better get you some rest." Seemed like they was awful insistent about me going to bed and getting some rest. So they stayed up and talked. I didn't know what we'd do the next day. I know we'd go hunt something. A lot of times we'd just go out and shoot crows. Yeah, Papa could call them in with his mouth, man. I ain't going to get into all that. But anyway. I got up the next morning, didn't take an alarm clock. Remember, I told you I was at Granny's. Smelled the bacon. Smelled them biscuits. I got up and walked in there in the kitchen expecting to see my dad. Papa sitting at the table. They wasn't there. I said, "Where's Dad and Papa?" And my mom tried to smooth it over. She said, "Well, honey, you got to understand, they had planned a deer hunting trip Only time my dad ever went deer hunting, he never went after that. I shamed him too bad. He never went back. But they had planned a deer hunting trip when some more grown men were going to be gone a couple of days. They didn't want me to know about it because I was too young to go. And when I got up and my mom, I said, do what? They went where? They went hunting? And they just let me sleep? You mean they left me behind with women? With my mom and granny and sister? And they're somewhere hunting? And they left me. That was 62 years ago. And I still remember it like it was yesterday. The hurt that I felt. I remember I went out into the barn and I cried all day long. Sat out there and cried. They left me behind, man. They let me sleep. They left me. They went off and left me behind. The rest of the day I went down to the creek and threw rocks in the water. I don't mean pitched them, man. I mean throw them as hard as I could because I was mad and I was hurt inside. Boy, when they got back, they got an earful. My daddy tried to explain to me, and he said, never, ever, ever again, boy, ever will I ever leave you behind. And my daddy never went back on another hunting trip like that unless I was with him. I know that feeling of being left behind. And there's going to be people. I've seen this preacher. I know you have. I'm up here. When the preacher gives the invitation, he says, ever head bowed. Never eye closed, no one looking around. I don't look around. And I think most people, they listen to that. And you'll hear him say all the time, I see that hand. I see that hand. I see that hand. But yet you never come. You never move. You grieve the wooing of the Holy Ghost. You see, you don't choose when you're going to get saved. You don't just pick out a day and say, I'm going to get saved on this day. Don't work that way. The Bible says, no man can come to me except the Father which sent me draw him. The Holy Ghost of God has to open the door in your heart and draw you. Yet Sunday, and there's people sitting here tonight snickering and laughing about it. That's exactly what I'm preaching. That's exactly what I'm talking about. There's people that sat in church all their life and they're going to die and go to a devil's hell. And they're going to be left behind. What are you going to do the day after we're gone? You got any plans? The day after we're gone, what are you going to do? Well, you'll go into a panic. That's what you'll do. Yeah, maybe you'll show up down here and the church will only be half full. Or the parking lot just be half full. And you wonder what's going on. Yeah. Where's Preacher Lawson? Yeah. Where's Miss Lawson? Where are they at? What's going on? What's going on? Do you know what's going on? I don't know what's going on. Anything happen like? No. And then you'll run back home and you'll turn your TV on. And it'll be breaking news on every newscast. Yeah. All of a sudden millions of people are missing. Amen. You think I'm a nut? You fashion your seatbelt. Amen. 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 And you'll see another breaking news. All interstates are blocked. You can't get on, you can't get off. Why? All the abandoned cars and trucks. What's going on? You'll ask yourself the question. Is what I'm seeing real or is this AI? Don't you think it's a little weird that all of a sudden AI just blows up and you can't believe anything? How many of you have seen that thing about Charlie Kirk in heaven? But it tells you up front this is AI. Looks just like him. He's talking. He has Moses with him and Elijah beside him. So how many of you have seen that? I know it's AI, but they'll still raise a hair on your arms. But if they didn't tell you, I'm telling you, it's so real. You can't listen to me. It's the age of deception. And you can sit in church all your life and play games with God. And people do it all the time. You smile at everybody. You shake hands. You'll even come up when somebody gets saved and pat them on the back. You came up this morning and shook hands with these young men that's going to be baptized in a little while. But you know in your heart that there's nothing spiritually alive in you. It's not there. The preaching doesn't move you. The singing doesn't move you. You have no desire to read your Bible. You're fussing at us? No, I'm warning you that you will not hear the shout or the trump and we'll be gone. You'll remember every message he preached. Man, how could you die and go to hell from Temple Baptist Church when you've sat under the best preacher of our age? But people's going to do it. You're going to do it. You're going to do it. You're going to die sitting right in these pews and go straight to hell. If you don't have the Holy Spirit of God, and if you do, you know it. You know it. 27 years old, Brother Lucas, pastor in my first church. I didn't know nothing, brother. I didn't know anything. Man, I still wet behind the ears. Papa, you know what I always said, boy, you're too green to burn. But I just followed the leadership of the Lord. I took the church. And I noticed this guy used to come and sat toward the back. I always had a smile on his face, man. I thought, he's got to be, I didn't know everybody right then. Always one of the first to come up and shake my hand and tell me how much he loved me, enjoyed it. And so I got with the men of the church, and I said, the guy that sits on the back row, yeah, we's going to come and talk to you about him. I said, tell me about him. Said, well, he lost his wife about 10 years ago. See, he's a widower. And said, he's come here for some time. Said, he's friendly to everybody. If we have a church work day, he's here. Anything we try to do, he's here. If he finds out there's a need in the church, he'll try his best to take care of it. And I said, well, he rolls the red carpet out for me. I mean, it's just, you're in the ministry and somebody does that, you're scared. If they're being too good to you, you get worried. Well, they got mine. And one of the deacons said, you'd be good, preacher, if you went and talked to him. He said, because he's lost. I said, he's what? He's never been saved. You're telling me that the guy that's here all the time and sits on the back row with a smile on his face and shakes everybody's hand and so friendly, you telling me he don't know the Lord? No. He told us he didn't know the Lord. They told me where he lived. Wasn't far from the church. And I drove by there one day. As a matter of fact, I was coming back and making a hospital visit, and he was mowing his yard. Perfect timing. I just pulled in his driveway. And immediately, he shut that mower off and called, hey, Preacher McDonald. Hey, come on in. I got some tea in here. I mean, just the nicest. And I said, I'd just like to talk to you for a little while. Well, come on in here. Get under this air conditioning. Let's talk. And I talked for a little while, and I said, so you've never been saved? No, I never have. He said, I've never really felt a need. He said, I'm not that bad of a feller. If they'll tell you down to church how much I help. He was convinced. He was convinced. And as far as I know, he died like that. Nobody ever told me any different after I left that church. As far as I know, he died like that, thinking that he was good enough. You try to match your righteousness up with the man that gave his life on a cross, you're going to hell like a bullet. Amen. There's nothing you can ever do to get there. You think I'm good enough to go? You don't know me. As a matter of fact, if you knew me the way I know me, you'd get up and walk out right now. But he knows me. And I'm accepted in the beloved. I'm telling you, it's going to happen. It's going to be a sad day soon. Because there's some of you that sat here, you've come to temple most of your life, some of you have, but you know in your heart that there's deadness in there. You've never felt a moving of the Holy Spirit of God. You've never been able to sit there and rejoice when this choir rejoices. You've never been able to raise your hands and praise the Lord when our pastor's preaching. But now you will lift that hand up and put it down for him to pray for you, but you never move. And let me say something to you. He only opens that door for so long. See, he's not peddling some second-rate junk iron to you. He's offering you the righteousness of his son. And one day you'll say no for the last time and you'll send away your day of grace. Amen. Oh, you'll keep coming to church. You may even keep raising your hand. But I'm telling you, the churches are going to be packed with people that set all of their life on a pew. Man, I say, when you can go to church with people for years and years and years and years and you never hear the first amen, you never hear the first praise the Lord, you never see the first tear, you never see the first burden, you never hear a testimony, something's wrong. One man told me, he said, well, I don't know how it will change me. Scares me. I'm afraid I'll lose some friends. And I said, let me help you. You will. I can help you there. He said, how will it affect me when I go back to work? I said, you scared? Yeah, a little bit. Wow. He said, preacher, I've thought about this thing. If you can pastor a lost man, I pastored him for several years. He said, when I retire, I'm going to get saved. No, it don't. He never made it to retirement age. You know where he's at while I'm preaching this message? He's in hell. He's burning tonight. He had good intentions like some of you all do. Some of you think, I'm not that bad. I think I'm cool right now. If this thing gets any worse and they keep killing Christian people, I'm going to tell you something. The Lord knows your thoughts in your head. And you want to play mind games with the devil, you're going to lose every time. But you're not going to pull nothing over on the Lord either. He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be cut off, and that without remedy. He's not going to camp out with you all the time and keep wooing your heart to come. The day is going to come when it stops. What are you going to do? What are you going to do the day after we're gone? Something to think about, isn't it? What are you going to, you're going to go into a panic? Because you've heard the messages, you'll remember the messages. You'll have your memory in hell, the rich man did.
Yep, that's right. Mm-hmm.
You'll remember them.
Some of
you will remember some things that this brother's preached when you're falling head over heels in a bottomless pit with weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Those messages will come back to haunt you. His word will not return void, but it will prosper. The Lord burdened me. I couldn't even hardly get up out of knowing, thinking. I know he sent this message for a reason. Knowing that there's people that I see Sunday morning, Sunday night, and probably Wednesday night that's never going to hear the shout, never going to hear the trump. And you'll look around and we'll be gone. What are you going to do? I'll do that? No, you won't. No, you're going to be sent a strong delusion. It's going to be explained away by the answer man. It was an alien invasion. It was AI.
Right.
Russia's got something to do with it.
Yeah.
And they'll get you calmed down for a little while because there'll be a 3.5 year of counterfeit peace.
Right.
Okay. But when the newscast changes and you see pictures of beast coming up out of the ground that's part human and part man, and they have stings in their tail, and people are dying. People are trying to kill themselves, and they won't die. Men will seek death, and death will... Can you imagine a man taking a .357 and blowing his brains out, and he can't die? Men will seek death. You mean it'd be that bad, preacher? Oh, I can't even get close to how bad it'll be. And there's people that sit at Temple Baptist Church for years that will witness that. Not just Temple, but every church out there. Every church I've pastored. You'll raise your hand, pray for me. I know I'm not right. I know I need help. And then you never move. All I ask you to do tonight is just take personal inventory. If you don't know that you know that you know that you know. You don't have to take the devil all the way back to where you first got saved. You don't have to do that. You can. Nothing wrong with that. But you can just take him back to the last time you felt the moving of the Holy Spirit of God inside you. See, I love to read hunting and fishing magazines. I do. I enjoy that. But they don't do for me what this does. This does something supernatural that I can't explain. Yeah. Wow. My Father, I tried my best. You gave me liberty. There's no way that I could give this message with the urgency that you gave it to me. It's been a while. Lord, it's been a while since you've done that to me. Just put me in a freeze frame and speak to me so fast I can't even write the words down. Lord, I pray with all of my soul, with all of my soul, if there's anyone here tonight, I'm not going to ask them to raise their hand. I'm not going to ask them to do that. We've done that time and time again. Nobody moves. I pray they take inventory, Lord, and just ask you, did that preacher tell me the truth? Is it that close? Will I be left behind? Will I not hear the shout? I pray that you would just get honest with the Lord for a little while, because your soul is hanging in the balance. And I pray that you would listen to the voice of the Holy One. And if he's speaking conviction, if he's wooing your heart, you better come. I wouldn't walk out of a message like this. I wouldn't do it. Not because it's me, but because how the Lord gave it to me. The Lord knows something that we don't know. And I pray if you sat here tonight and you're lost and you know you're lost, nobody has to tell you you're lost. You know that there's nothing alive spiritually inside you. I pray Sister Brooklyn starts to play and sing the first verse. I pray you'd step out of your seat and that you'd come to this altar. Ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.